As I descended, my old ally, the guard, came out of the room and closed the door tightly behind him.
"I've got him here," he whispered, jerking his thumb over his shoulder. "He's all right."
"What is it, then?" I asked, for his manner suggested that it was some strange creature which he had caged up in my room.
"It's a new patient," he whispered. "I thought I'd bring him round myself, then he couldn't slip away. There he is, all safe and sound.
I must go now, doctor. I have my duties just the same as you."
And off he went, this trusty tout, without even giving me time to thank him. I entered my consulting room and found a gentleman seated by the table. He was quietly dressed in a suit of heather tweed, with a soft cloth cap which he laid down upon my books. Round one of his hands he had a handkerchief wrapped, which was mottled all over with bloodstains. He was young, not more than 25, I should say, with a strong masculine face. But he was exceedingly pale, and gave me the impression of a man who was suffering from some strong agitation, which it took all his strength of mind to control.
"I'm sorry to knock you up so early, doctor," said he, "but I've had a very serious accident during the night. I came in by train this morning, and on inquiring at Paddington as to where I might find a doctor, a worthy fellow very kindly escorted me here. I gave the maid a card, but I see that she has left it upon the side table."
I took it up and glanced at it. "Mr. Victor Hatherley, hydraulic engineer, 16A Victoria Street, third floor." That was the name, style, and abode of my morning visitor. "I regret that I have kept you waiting," said I, sitting down in my library chair. "You are fresh from a night journey, I understand, which is in itself a monotonous occupation."
"Oh, my night could not be called monotonous," said he, and laughed.
He laughed very heartily, with a high ringing note, leaning back in his chair and shaking his sides. All my medical instincts rose up against that laugh.